May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 283. 'Tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious thought, do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? 283.
Thank you.
from Matthew chapter 25. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more." His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." He also that had received 2 talents came and said, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them." His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine." His Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
May the Lord teach us to pray. Holy, gracious, and eternal Lord God, to grant that help to venture before the throne of grace in the evening hour of thy day. Lord, do come in and tarry with us this night. Reveal thyself unto us in the scriptures, and show us the things concerning thyself. May we be favoured with a glimpse of thy hands, thy feet, thy side. May the bread of life be broken. May the hungry feed this evening hour. May we know pardon for sin, the peace of God in our hearts. And nearness unto thee. Give unto us grace, faith, humility, love, Grant us, Lord, that repentance over our many sins, separation from them, and give us a love after the things of holiness. Bless thy word we've read together. Lord, may we be among those who are found as watchers, waiting for that hour when our Lord doth return. May we be among those wise virgins, with oil in our lamp and in our vessels of our lamp, and ready for when the midnight hour comes and that call of the bridegroom is sounded. Make us, Lord, unto salvation wise. Grant unto us those fruits of living faith, those evidences of the life of God within. Prepare us for the days of this coming week. May it be a week spent with thee. A week when we know thy presence day by day. May it be, Lord, a week of blessing. A week of the Comforter's teaching, leading and sacred influence. May thy blessing attend the worship of thy great and holy name here this evening. Bless thy people as they gather throughout the whole world. Bless each of thy servants and follow with thy blessing truths delivered in thy name today. May there be signs following the preaching of thy word. May it not all be forgotten, Lord, but may there be something that remains. Prepare us for eternity, to stand before thy face. Bless this church and people, do supply their needs. Bless the deacons of this cause and grant them thy help. Bless each member of this church and knit them together in union and love, and add unto them those whom thou hast eternally saved. May they know more grace, more fellowship with thee and with each other, and communion with their God. And bless each member of the congregation. May this be a living congregation, an exercised congregation, a praying congregation, a congregation which dwells under the shadow of the Almighty. Bless elderly friends. Be with them in life's evening time. Prepare them for the end of the journey. May it be their great desire and concern to be made right and ready for that midnight hour that we've been reading of this evening. Bless those in the midst of life and amidst its busy scenes. May we not forget, Lord, the one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. May we not be so swallowed up with the things of time to forget the judgment seat to come. But in the midst of casting our providential cares and concerns upon thee, may we not neglect our souls. But may those burdens be carried by thee also. Bless those in business life. Help them to set a right example to others. And bless those in their family life, with children and grandchildren, to answer the prayers they have for them. Bless those in the morning of life, children and the young people. May they walk through life with thee. May they be privileged like Samuel to walk life's pathway from the earliest days in thy company, and be made a blessing to the house of God in the years to come. Bless those who have gathered from neighbouring causes. Do bless them and the churches and causes they represent. Do add unto thy church those whom thou hast saved. Bring in from outside those whom thou wilt call by grace. And fill Zion with the poor, the hungry, the needy, the maimed, the lost, the ruined, the undone. Bless any, Lord, who feel to need thee this evening in a particular and a special way. Draw near unto them and grant them to know that thou hast their case, their cause, and their souls in thy hand, and that thou wilt manage everything for thine honour and glory and for their temporal and eternal good. Do grant us ears to hear thy voice this night, hearts to worship, feet to follow. We thank thee for thy mercies. Lord, grant in each heart that true thanksgiving and wonder for thy providential care, for health and strength, homes, faculties, food, drink. May there be many here who can raise that deeper note of thanksgiving for pardon for sin, for righteousness which thou hast provided, for thy Holy Spirit, the Comforter, God as their Father, and for the prospect of heaven to come. So, Lord, help us to worship thee tonight in thanksgiving for thy mercies, in confession for our sins. May we recognize thy greatness, thy majesty, thy power, thy almighty presence. May we be conscious of it this evening. May we, Lord, have the faith to believe that thou art well able to do more and exceeding abundantly than we can even ask or think. Put us each in thy family, in thy flock, in that covenant of grace. And may this evening be a preparation for that eternal worship, where congregations do not break up, where worship has no end. Bless the labours in the Sunday school this afternoon. And may the seed sown bear a fruitful and a hundredfold harvest in each who heard thy truth this afternoon. We ask now thou hast give us hearing ears to hear thy word, that we might profit and that we might leave thy courts better for coming. May we be able to say we've been with Jesus. We ask it in his worthy name. Amen.
Hymn 981. Why should I yield to slavish fears? God is the same to endless years. Though clouds and darkness hide his face, he's boundless both in truth and grace. 981.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help, we turn this evening to the book of Job, chapter 19. We read verses 25 to 27. Book of Job, 19th chapter, verses 25 to 27. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And lo, after my skin, worms destroy this body. Yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eye shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eye shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Job lived in the early days of this earth. It is believed that he may even have lived before Abraham. And it is felt by godly historians that the book of Job is the oldest book in the Word of God. And yet by living faith, in the depths of trouble, grief, and trial, Job gets a most clear view of the last day and of the Redeemer standing upon the earth. He gets a clear view of the resurrection of the dead, of the body. By faith, he can look forward and say, my Redeemer. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, what a mercy in the depths of this man's trouble and grief, with the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ, no man has known more grief and trouble than Job knew. He is in a path he cannot understand. And even his friends who came to comfort him have turned against him. But one thing he knows, and this is where he can rest, that he has a Redeemer. And that Redeemer liveth. Friends, in the midst of your trials and troubles this evening, can you say, I know that my Redeemer liveth? Say that rainbow shining in the cloud. The darker the cloud, the brighter the bow. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. A Redeemer literally means someone who frees someone by paying a price. And by faith, Job, because he was well taught of God, knows that he needs a Redeemer. One to pay a debt that he himself can never pay. And that Redeemer is our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The Lord has paid all the debt that was owed to those who he came to redeem. Under the law, a redeemer in Old Testament times had to be a near relative, couldn't be a stranger. It had to be a blood relative. Child of God, your elder brother, Jesus Christ, by his own precious blood, has redeemed your soul from the power of the grave. Upon that cross at Calvary, when he died, the Father, in his infinite holiness, took one by one the sins of his family and placed them one by one upon this elder brother, unpardoned, wretched, vile, polluted, offensive sins. An infinite justice demanded of this Redeemer the full, complete, and total payment of the debt. Child of God, a debt that you could never pay, Jesus paid it all. And in order to pay that debt, he endured in his holy body and soul hell on behalf of his people. There was that darkness that could be felt so deep, so impenetrable, which hung over the earth during those hours. Mirroring the darkness that was in the soul and body of our dear Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. In his holy body, he felt the literal pain of those nails, piercing his holy, lovely hands and feet. We felt the scourging of his lovely back. He bore throughout that solemn day that crown of thorns, thorns being the fruit of sin. They weren't created in the first day, in the first week. They sprang up when Adam sinned. Reminding us that the fruit of sin is death, pain, nothing else, nothing good. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who deserved any other crown but that, has to bear the shame, the mockery, and the pain that that crown of thorns inflicted. In his holy soul, he bears the terror, of an offended law, the terror of offended justice against these unpardoned sins. What a weight that condemnation was. We cannot begin to comprehend or understand it. As the fiery indignation of a holy, offended God demanded of that soul payment for sins he had never committed. And in the payment of that debt, he endured misery that no one else has ever gone through. He plumbed the depths of loneliness that no one else has ever been called to go to. He who from all eternity and every moment of that life before had enjoyed the loving, comforting presence of his Father, now has to endure his absence upon that cross. And instead is surrounded with the devil and his angels, and with that congregation of the wicked, taunting, mocking, scorning, hating. He bears that anger. He bears that indignation. He bears that wrath. He feels the frown of his Father. He hangs there, enduring that misery. That misery, child of God, you would have had to endure forever in hell. The hymn writer gets a glimpse of it that wrath would have kindled a hell of never abating despair in millions of creatures which fell on Jesus and spent itself there. 'Twas justice that burst in a blaze of vengeance on Jesus our head, divinity's indwelling rays sustained him till nature was dead. What a cost! Child of God, never forget that cost, that you can say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He will never forget that cost. May we never forget it. May those of us who have a hope that we can join with Job and say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. May we, constrained by that love, live lives of gratitude and thanksgiving to God. The Redeemer dies after paying the full debt of that last sin, because justice demanded the death of the innocent one for that payment to be completed. And at that moment of death, all of the church of God were redeemed forever. Hell's gate was shut and heaven's gate was opened. He enters into that tomb. And there his lifeless body lays for those days and nights until the time appointed for him to come forth triumphant from the grave. Job looked forward to that moment of triumph. He says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. We do not worship this evening a dead Redeemer, but a living Redeemer. Not a dead Christ, a living Christ. Not a vanquished Saviour, but a victorious Saviour. Jesus completely vanquished Satan when he died upon that cross. He is now risen again triumphant, never to return either to the cross or to the grave. Now he lives at the right hand of God the Father. Now Job can say, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. How many of us this evening can call him my Redeemer? My Redeemer, because you proved him as your Redeemer. You've known that peace which comes from that precious blood that he shed and from that righteous life that he lived. You've had a word from his lips. Fear not, worm Jacob, I will help thee. But fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Thy sins are all forgiven thee. I may not have mentioned the promise that he spoke to you, but you remember it this evening, do you not? And he would never have spoken it to you if he was not your Redeemer. It's a precious evidence that your Redeemer liveth. My Redeemer, may we have that precious faith in gratitude and in thanksgiving and love to be able to say, my Redeemer. Covet this faith. He doesn't say, I hope that my Redeemer liveth. He says, I know. Don't despise a little hope. But seek that God might favour you with that strong faith and that full knowledge that Jesus Christ is your Redeemer. That Jesus is your Saviour. That he is your righteousness. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. You can say that this evening like Job, it will make your dark cloud you're having to pass through, that difficulty, that trouble, that trial. You'll be able to look up and see it's in the hands of your Redeemer. Those hands that once were nailed to that cross. Therefore, that trial is in safe hands. It's not in your hand. It's not in the hand of those who are trying you and testing you and opposing you. It's not in the hands of the devil. It's in the hands of your loving Redeemer. Seek grace then this evening to be submissive. Seek grace this evening to be brought to say his way was much rougher and darker than mine did Christ my Lord suffer. And shall I repine? He didn't repine. And he was the innocent sufferer. Friends, we cannot claim to be innocent sufferers. Because we're sinners. Never forget that. And it's of God's mercy that we do not suffer more than we do. But when you come to the innocent, holy Lamb of God, and that life of suffering he endured, you never hear one complaint, one murmur. Seek to follow by grace his footsteps, to be content. And trust that your Redeemer knows what he's doing. He hasn't made a mistake. What though you can't his going see, nor all his footsteps find? Too wise to be mistaken, sure. Too good to be unkind. Your Redeemer cannot be unkind. He cannot be unjust. He cannot be unfair. And because he is all wise and all knowing and almighty, he cannot make a mistake either. And you are asking me this evening, why then am I in this pathway? I'll tell you why. Your Redeemer is looking at you and dealing with you with eternity in view, not just time. And what you're going through this evening hour is part of that preparation and conforming you to the suffering image of himself. It's part of that preparation for heaven. And you will not know until you get there fully why you've had to go through what you have. There God will explain all. There God will wipe away all tears from your eyes. But while you're here, seek grace to cling to this word, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. Take comfort from it. Do you think that your Redeemer that suffered for you would cause you to suffer a needless tear? I feel at my heart all thy sighs and thy groans. For thou art most near me, my flesh and my bones, and all thy distresses. Thy head feels the pain, but all are most needful. Not one is in vain. Then trust me and fear not, thy life is secure. My wisdom is perfect. Supreme is my power in love. You've forgotten that, hadn't you? Not in anger, not in wrath, in mercy, in love, I correct thee, thy soul to refine, to make thee at length in my likeness to shine. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Some of you would long to be able to say this evening, I know that my Redeemer liveth, but you say, I don't yet have that satisfaction, that confidence that he is my Redeemer. Well, friends, it's a good exercise for us all to have. We mustn't take it for granted. You mustn't assume he's not everyone's Redeemer. He died for an innumerable company, but it is a fixed number. It's referred to as many, not as any. You keep praying on. He reveal himself to you as your Redeemer. But in one sense, you can say my Redeemer this evening. Because you can't go anywhere else, can you, for redemption? You cannot go anywhere else to get relief from your burden of sin. To whom else can you go? So in that sense, you can say, my Redeemer, because you know, and you're clinging to this fact that he is the Redeemer. And if ever your soul is going to be saved, it will only be saved by this glorious redemption. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Ask Almighty God, to give you that clear view that he is your Redeemer, and that witness within that Jesus lived and died and rose again and lives for you now in heaven above. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. He lives at the right hand of the Father to still your fears. He lives at the right hand of the Father to relieve your cares. He lives at the right hand of the Father to intercede on your behalf when you come to the throne of grace, and to present your prayers in a holy, perfect way to his Father. And because he lives, the Father answers your prayers. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Some of you have had that witness within, haven't you? Answered prayer. Be thankful for it. It's an evidence that you have a Redeemer in heaven, an answer of peace in your soul, that promise, that deliverance, that nearness to God that you felt, that little love you've enjoyed. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. He lives to prepare a place in heaven. He lives to prepare you for that place. He's gone there now. He has promised he will return to receive you when you are fully prepared for that place. Thou shalt see my glory soon. When the work of grace is done, partner of my throne shalt be. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? Be soon. Won't be long. In the light of eternity, before your little day will be done, and you'll see your Redeemer face to face. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. He lives to bestow upon you pardon and peace. And you who this evening have come into God's house, weighed down, heavy laden with sin, with guilt, feeling condemned, take courage this evening that the Redeemer does live, that he is now at this very moment at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and that at this very moment he has the power through his precious blood to wash away all sin. By faith, venture unto him and ask him to have mercy on you and to wash you in that precious blood. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Child of God, this same Jesus that has gone into heaven, this same Jesus that was born for you, this same Jesus that lived for you, this same Jesus that redeemed you, that suffered for you, that died for you, that lay in that grave for you, that has risen again for you. This same Jesus that ascended into heaven that triumphant day shall so return. Not a different Jesus, And although he will return as the judge, although he will return as the king, he will also return as your redeemer. He's not coming in that last great day to condemn you, but at last to save you completely from hell and to share in his triumph over Satan. And when he stands at the latter day upon the earth, you who have been taught by God's grace and through his Spirit to know and trust and love this dear Redeemer, to whom you owe so much, you will have nothing to fear in that great day. All fear will then be at an end. If he's not your Redeemer, if you're a stranger to him, your fears will just be beginning. And they will be eternal fears. There will be fears that there will be no deliverance from. And you will spend an eternity longing for a Redeemer to deliver you from the captive chains that sin has produced, and never finding that Redeemer. That Redeemer will turn his back upon you. Not one prayer has ever been answered from hell. Not one prayer ever will be, even though they pray sincerely with all their hearts and efforts. Their prayer is shut out. Friends, it is vital that before this day comes, we can say, my Redeemer liveth. And we read this evening of that account when he will return. I don't know if you realized, but that was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ coming to the close of his public ministry. He closed his public ministry upon earth. His last sermon upon earth was on the second coming, reminding us of the necessity to be ready and prepared for this day. What is true of Job is true of each and every one of us. That when he does stand at that latter day upon the earth, we in our flesh shall see God. Though our body may have been destroyed long years before and returned to the dust, Almighty God is well able to resurrect that same body and the whole of the human race will see with their literal eyes for ourselves. We will come face to face with Almighty God. Job here by faith acknowledges that God is his Redeemer. God in human flesh. He worships and acknowledges in the midst of his trials and tribulation and distress and darkness. And he who is yet to come, he who is yet to walk this sin-cursed earth as a man, as his Redeemer, is also his God. Have you got like precious faith to be able to say that your Redeemer is also your God? For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. And mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. The margin reading for rendering of verse 26 is this: after I shall awake, though this body be destroyed, yet out of my flesh shall I see God. The trumpet shall sound, and all the dead will awake and will arise. Even right down from Abel's day to those who are newly dead, at that trumpet sound, will arise and come face to face with the King of Kings, sitting upon that throne of judgment. But Job could look forward to that day with holy confidence, pleasure, and boldness. And child of God, you can do the same when you see for yourself your Redeemer, your Judge, your King. He will look at you with love. He will look at you with peace. He will look at you with kindness. And you'll receive a loving welcome. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. It will be eternal joy. Come, ye blessed of my Father, ye who are blessed on earth, to seek me, to long for me, to love me, to follow me, to obey me, to have faith, to trust, to depend, to seek your all in me. Now you will come with me as I return to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Come home. Heaven is the home of a Christian. We claim to be pilgrims. And the definition of a pilgrim is the one who is resident in a foreign land. One that's just staying there, doesn't really belong, only there for a short time, and then returning to their own land where they belong. May we be found as pilgrims and strangers here below. And the word pilgrim is only mentioned twice in the Word of God, and it's always linked. Strangers and pilgrims, may we be that. Strangers to the world's joys and pleasures and pursuits. Strangers to its company. Have as little to do with the world as you can. Have as much to do with the Word of God, the house of God, the worship of God, and the people of God as you can. We're strangers and pilgrims, we will show it in our lives. But in this last great day, when our Redeemer stands upon the earth, it will be to take his complete church as it meets for the first time, and never to part again, home to glory. To worship in the beauty of holiness and to see face to face forevermore our living Redeemer. And each one of that vast company will then be able to say with unwavering tongue, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And because he lives, I live also through him. That eternal life which he gives will be a life of eternal happiness, eternal peace, eternal communion and union with him, eternal harmony. There will be nothing that will break that peace. There will be nothing that will mar that joy. Child of God, you'll know complete satisfaction. Here on earth, you've had some disappointments. And you've got to admit, in all those things you sought satisfaction, you've not found it. But when you get home to heaven, to the glory of Emmanuel's land, you will be completely satisfied in the presence of your Saviour. Completely satisfied, gathered safely around that throne of glory. Worshipping your Redeemer. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And lo, after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Are you ready for that judgment day? This chapter ends, doesn't it? That ye may know there is a judgment. Job, by grace, in this chapter, was ready for that day. Are you?
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £625, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Pont is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Tim Parrish next Lord's Day. And there will also be a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 1039. Lord, we adore thy boundless grace, the heights and depths unknown of pardon, life and joy and peace in thy beloved Son. 1039.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost, be with you all. Amen.